Version number 16730, Mr. F. Harrison, Reel 7.
Mr. Harrison, Reel 7. What kind of transport were you operating at this time, Mr. Harrison?
Well, what I own, like carriers and all such as that, and then we've got these mules. Well, lads had to be trained to, your dresser horse, or bridle them or whatever, and they had to learn how to put that on, how to load a mule, treat a mule, and how to feed a mule even. And while the lads were selected and everything else, and they proved a wonderful animal at those. I mean, eventually they carried some stuff and we lost a few of them and all, just through the conditions, that's later on. But these lads, a lot of these lads really enjoyed it, and they got attached to them. And they did a good job. They did. They carried some stuff. I say, we walked this 45 miles.
Were they carrying your mortars?
Why the mortars in the carriers.
Oh, you could get carriers through at this point.
Oh, you could get mortars and all that like that.
Any reminiscences about mules and the way they were treated and so on?
Well, not really. The lads treat them all right. Like, I suppose they would get annoyed with them at times, because, I mean, it's not the most intelligent of animals. Like, I mean, they wouldn't do half the things anyway. But they carried some stuff. They were grand little animals, they were. But later on, when we went all the way up in the, I forget, I was always mixed up with the different points in Kahame. So we were on one of the hillsides, and ammunition and everything had to go up, and it was, an awful drop. And one or two of the mules with equipment and everything, they went over the top. I mean, it was awful, I mean, the conditions, but that's a bit later on.
So from Mung Do, where did you go?
We went down to Donbike.
And this was a march, was it?
Yes, we marched down there, and we relieved an Indian battalion, and we took up their positions. There was a battalion of infantry was in front of what was it part of a 26th Div or something. I think they'd gone off to relieve the other side, like the Bothy Dom side. Well, we took over the positions from this Indian battalion, and we started digging little places where we could, inside the dry riverbed bunks, was to dig there, so we could get in, lie in there, and still you covered your face. If you had a mosquito on it, to come over here to cover yourself. We used to dig these little holes so you could get in, and if you wanted have time for a nap or anything like that, you could get in there, you're out the road. Fairly safe, because their mortars was active. But when the fighting did start there, why, it was all frontal. And it was hopeless, because they were that well dug in. They'd had it all this time. And the defences, what, sugar one, sugar two, that's what they called. Oh, they were terrific. And they had the heights, what heights there was, they had them. And you must have the heights. I mean, the fair spotting flashes of guns or mortars, anything. And it was frontal attacks all the time, and it proved costly, dear, to the Welsh and the Durhams.
You talked about them being well dug in. What form did their defences take?
Someone said they were all tanks. It had been let into the ground, and tree trunks, and covered with earth and everything, just little slits and everything. They tried everything to blast them out of there.
Were they easy to see, or well camouflaged?
Oh, they were camouflaged. Oh, they were camouflaged, all right. But you couldn't go out and get your dead in. They were laid. I mean, these lads got medals there for bringing some of the lads in, carrying them in. But all sorts. There'd been Indians had been there, and all. You know, they were all up. The smell was terrible.
A lot of dead lying around when you arrived.
Oh, that smell was there. So what it must have been.
What distance from your own front line to the Japs? What was the distance?
Oh, what, 150 yards. Maybe that's much more.
Did you get into action with your mortars?
Oh, yes. We a few shells. Oh, yes.
Where did you set them up?
When I set them in the riverbed. You know, but he hadn't much room to manoeuvre. I mean, ideal for a mortar is to fire a few shells, right, and get out of it and move somewhere else. Because as soon as they spot you, they're going to hit you. Well, that's what happened. And that's what happened to us. We've been there a while. No, this was on about the 29th or the 30th of March. Maybe about the 29th. We got shelled by Jap mortars. Well, I got hit. And the lad next door got hit. That's Lance Corporal Turnbull. Well, he hit me about one in the chest and one on the top of my arm. Like shrapnel. Why, naturally, everything... I didn't feel it, mind. There was no pain. I just knew somebody had just gone just like that. And I just said to my Lance Corporal next door, I says, we used to call him Bull Turnbull, just goes, Bull, I said, I think I've been hit. I said, well, why not? Because the blood was down my boots, you know. Well, he went and he got somebody by the fetched the stretcher, they took me away after that, like it took us. And give us an injection of morphine, and I finished back up at Mong Dor.
Can we just look at that situation? You've been wounded.
Yeah.
And called for a stretcher bearer, presumably.
Yeah.
And he was brought in. How far back between the position you were in and where you received some attention, how far did you
go? Funny enough, they carried me forward to where the lads at their little post were, went forward and then came back. And I always remember little things like this, where the Espiri Corps and all this, you know, your friendship. My mate, Bill Morton, when he got to know, he come over and he had a 10-rupee note and he just stuffed that in. Say, yeah, you might want something when you get out, you know. I mean, things like that. I mean, that thing like that always stuck in my mind. And see, I got morphine. Why? I mean, it knocked us a bit.
Was this the MO that gave it to you, or the stretcher bearer?
The stretcher bearer, he gave us that. And then I was taken back to Mong Dor, and I was operated on there for a man from Downton. And I never knew his name yet.
How did you get back from there to Mong Dor?
It was like a truck. It was in a truck, that. That's all it was. And then, as I say, the hospital was only, it was only a straw basher. That's all that was. And bamboo beds and that. And I remember after being operated on, and I woke up through the night, and I started to walk about, and the blood was running out of us. And, well, anyway, he said, what's the matter? I said, my back's killing me, which it was. I said, so he had a tire, and he blew this tire up, and I went back to bed, and he just laid that tire on, and he said, how's that? Is it too cumbersome? I said, that's exactly. I said, just the way it was figured out. Just got a tape, adhesive tape, you know, at 6-inch strips right away around. I don't know whether it's shaved us at the clove, whether it's shaved us before they put it, that was wrapped round us. I don't know. And the next journey, am I going too fast now? The next journey was wagon again to the railhead at Dimmapur. And from there was hospital train, and we were laid out there to Dhaka. That was in Assam, like Bengal. And
had you to have injections for your pain and that kind of thing on these?
No, days? Not after the operation. No, I
what had they done at the operation? What exactly had they?
Well, they just dug these two pieces out.
Were they in particularly deep?
There was one. I think it could have gone. That one went in, but it went in a good way.
That's your shoulder one.
Yeah, that one. This one, I wasn't too far in. Like you know, they dug it up, like. But this one here wasn't far off the ticker, like. You know, that was the worst one. But
was it British or Indian doctors?
Oh, this was a man from Darton operated on us, but there was still. Like Indian servants and all sorts running about, you know, because they always employ them and all. I mean, they wanted as many white people up the front. But there was a lot happened in that time. But I mean, I wasn't there. But I knew what had happened because I got to know all about it. Like, there was Mr. Theobald and the brigadiers were all killed because the Japs come round. I mean, that was part of your jungle train. They allowed it to come right round. No, the defence was weak. They allowed it to come right round, and they learned a right lesson down there. It was costly, but it served them well, like later on. It was a tough lesson to learn. But anyway, I got to Dhaka, and that was the hospital there. Why, that was like a big, great big tent. Oh, massive, massive tent. Just the bamboo beds. That's where I took first dose of malaria, on top of that. And I went down to about 8 stone. And my missus, she still has the first telegram, what they sent home to my mother. And then there was another one followed that. That was just to say I'd been wounded. How, why, or what it's like, they didn't know. It wasn't long before they sent another one to say, like, well, he's not so bad, so that was it.
And this must have been a great worry to your mother,
of course. Oh, yes, yes. I mean, my older brother was there and all, you see. But he wasn't in Narakan. He didn't come in Narakan at all. He was with the transport, and they went up to Lahore. But
the hospital that you just mentioned, was it a British hospital?
Dhaka. There was all our personnel in there. So
were the women nursing?
There was white nurses there, and dark ones and all. But it was all right. Oh, yes.
What happened to you there? What were they doing?
Well, they were just treating us. I mean, they were treating us for malaria and everything else, and then coming and having a look, and, you know, maybe at the house that, you know, you could smell. I mean, there were some lads wounded, say, on the arms and that, and they were maybe push maggots down or something. And then when they took everything clean as a whistle. You know. And
they hadn't done this with you, put
maggots. No. But it still had that smell, you know, it was when it was easing off, well, which was sweating and everything off with the
wanted to tear the
and I could say that I hadn't shaved as a dart with half a and I was there. What was
the discipline like in the hospital? Did they keep you in a kind of strong disciplinary situation?
Oh, it was all right. You had no problems.
They treat you all right?
Yeah, yes.
You weren't kind of sitting to attention in bed?
Somebody else to come round, you know, if you want to buy little bits of things, or you want a little novel or something. But there, you never bothered. You always found something to pass your time away. So I was like walking wounded by this time, like, you know, I mean, I wasn't too bad.
Once you got on your feet, were you given little jobs to do in the hospital?
No, no, I was never alone, you know, I never did anything, like, you know. I used to go around visiting some of the lads and talk to them. And then eventually, it came that, like a sort of convalescent, that this Camilla, a place called Camilla, which, when I got there, I says, this is no form of convalescent at all, this. And I was right annoyed. Now, so there were some lads there had no intention of voting. I mean, white lads, but they belonged different Indian regiments. And
you were going to say that they had no intention of what, these white lads?
Of moving out of there. That they were safe there. So no more fighting for them if they couldn't get away with it. And I got in there and I said, well, this is no convalescent camp. The food was atrocious. There's nobody cared two hoots about what they did, anything. And it always stuck in my mind that this, I had to get back to my unit, and I was a canny right away.
Can we look at the convalescent camp, which you just mentioned, just to get a picture of it? You said the food was bad.
No.
What about the accommodation and
that building? That was terrible and all. There was filth, there was bugs, there was all sorts. I mean, you had your mosquito nets and everything else. But then it just saw up, not about a week of that. And it was horrible.
Was it strictly regimented?
Not really. No, I'll prove that just in a second. And I got sick of this. So there was one or two more lads there from our unit. So about five or six anyway. So there was one night, be about 11 o'clock, half past 10, 11 o'clock. I went round to where they were, and I just said, no. I said, I'm going. Well, if any of you don't want to come with me, you're quite welcome. But I said, you only take your shaving gear, mind. You want no gear. I said, where are you going? I said, I'm going back to the owner. Well, he says, how are you going to get back there? We'll get a train at Camilla Station. So I went round there, lads, and I said, we'll go here. And we got onto the road. And these three Gary Wallace came. One of these, the pull, it wasn't the horse, either pull them, you can get two in. Well, there was six of us. We got no money. Well, what to leave them, the Gary Wallace, about half a mile from the station. And they were bawling and shouting. We couldn't make any better of it. I mean, we had no money now. And we only had our shaving gear, that's all we had. And we got on to Camilla Station. Well, I don't know where they come from. There was red caps. There was different coloured troops and only, like Indian people. Well, this said the chaps that was with me, so what you're going to do now was just buy the whole time, just see what happens. And with the train coming, we got on. We got right to Tirigong. That's where the battalion was when it came out of the line. And I made my report, like, I went to the company, our own command. I went to the CO, good show, Sergeant. I told him what I'd done. He says, you'll hear no more about this, don't worry. He says, you've done right. And after that, I was all right.
Were you physically?
Joined the unit again, joined the battalion.
Were you physically fit enough to do this?
You said
you're only convalescent.
Oh, I was all right. At that particular time, I couldn't. My arm used to get about that far and that way. I knew I was pulling something then, so if I had a coat on or some sort, I used to have a lift, but it didn't worry my job. I could do my job without that. So, and he said, well, I said, we're always told we had to get back to our own unit. He says, you've done well.
Who was commanding now?
Northern. No, it wasn't Theobald. Brown. Ah, he got killed too, Mr. Brown.
You would get back to the Union, as you quite right said, after his 21st experience.
They were back at Chittagong.
What state was the unit in? What was the morale and the spirit like?
Why, they were pleased to be out of it, out the other kind. And I mean, that's where I got to know exactly what had happened. And they came round the back. They cut off that fight the way out. But they all came back to Mongolia. I think they were a bit demoralised. They were a bit upset. That, you know, I mean, we've trained for one thing, and well, now it was just forgotten completely. And the thought of any more landings, well, it was out the question, like, no.
Is there any criticism of higher command when people have this kind of particularly unpleasant experience?
Well,
you tend to find someone to blame.
Why? Really, you couldn't blame them because they had no troops that was jungle trained. No, when we got back to the, we went back to Hammanaga, it was like going home, horrible place. And we got some leave there. And this Sergeant Morton, myself, there was somebody else with him. Anyway, we went down to Bangalore. About 3 weeks, and the camp where we were, they straw bushes and these, oh, that was horrible. Oh, no, where we stopped. Well, we just slept there, because when you put your mosquito net, all these things in the corner, the bugs, they always used to make for the corner of your mosquito net. It was stinking, oh, horrible. So I says, well, this don't look any good, this food-wise. And we met somebody in Bangalore, because we're just like on the outskirts, went into Bangalore. And they directed us to this Chinese cafe. And we told them, well, they spoke English as good as us, these people. You'll just leave it with us. And we also go down there for our breakfast. There was porridge, there was all the bacon and egg, and then there was tiffin at dinner time. That was nearly always a salad, you know, or something like. And dinner time, they all used to cook pancakes and all. Oh. But we put half a stone on down there in 3 weeks. You know, we could feel yourself getting better all the time. And we went back to Chittagong then. And then the battalion, or the division, was split up all over in the Grover. Grover was the lieutenant, major general, Grover. And the battalion was split up over southern India, different parts.
The division.
We got Belgaum, and that was all jungle. So it all started again. We're only like maybe 2 or 3 miles off Jua. Goa, you know, it was a Portuguese, belonged to the Portuguese anyway. But, and then we started there training again in the jungle training. But it was the humidity, it was terrible. I mean, you were sweating just walking about, you know. And we got called back again from there. But
did your jungle training now take in your experiences that you'd had?
Yeah, we had a little bit of idea what was going on, and it was all right. And then, you kind of fire a mortar in jungle. You've got to have overhead clearance and everything, but a mortar, I mean, you've got to be, you know, somewhere where you can make use of them. And, we're down there a while, and then we got called back and prepare to move. And what to be on a war like, you know.
What date would this be?
No, this is getting towards the Hebe time. February 44, January 44, somewhere like that. And we come back to Hammanaga, then we start the regroup and everything else, and we're on. Why, some it come as a shock because some troops of the division flew up and they came by, well, anything they could get hold of, train. We came up by train and we landed at Dimapur.
Had you received any new drafts after your Burma, the original experience?
There was one or two, but I don't know where they came from, whether they came from England or whether they came from some of the units outside the division. But
they weren't Durham?
No, they weren't. It wasn't later on, I would think, we would get some reinforcements. Some of the RASC, some of that, you would get some of them to come in the infantry, you know, what you could do without some of the transport. And the others all sorts came in. I said, we got to Dimapur at the rail aid. Why, it was panic stations. Was it? Nobody knew anything. What we're going to do now, where are we going, or what we knew the Japs had been getting in foreign, that year. But,
had you formed an opinion about the Japanese soldier at this stage, as a soldier?
Yes.
What was that?
Well, when we were down the Arakan, that's all this talk about them, why they can't see in the dark, and they were just little fellas. He just happened to be the Japanese Imperial Guard that we bumped. Well, they're great big fellas. I mean, he used to shell them. They'd drop all sorts on them. They would hang white clothes out at the finish, hang clothes out to dry. They were arrogant. And they were good soldiers. Don't worry about that, Harry. They were good soldiers. There's no doubt about that.
Had you heard any stories of cruelty or experienced any?
Oh, not then. Not then. I mean, I'm not saying that there hadn't been. I mean, because there was Indian troops and all sorts. And these inner skillings, they came through while we were down there. They came through and half of them had rifles. Whether they dumped them or what. Never heard no more of them being in that theatre of war.
So they came out in a bit of a shambles?
It's maybe not the lad's fault. You don't know what the officers know. If the officers, they make the shambles. I mean, if you've got the discipline and everything else. We got to Dimapur and to start getting reorganised again then, all concerned us now, get your weapons in good condition.
And you said that you'd got Sten guns to a great extent now. Did the bayonet fix on the end of the Sten gun?
No, we didn't have any bayonet, not with a Sten gun. There were still rifles, you know, still, but they're all good in the jungle.
Had you come across any Americans?
Yes. Where were we? I think we were just outside Calcutta. We stopped against Calcutta somewhere. And they were in a camp just not very far from us. And we wandered over because we were having a quiet period at that particular time.
This was before you went to Dimapur.
Yeah. And we wandered in and, the threat was great. And they had little boats, little cowboy boats. And they fit in the top of your breast pocket. And top of your, we were all denim stuff what we had. This boat, just fit in there. That's sharp, then. They'll give us some of their rations. Take some worthy lemonade, powder, and cigarettes, and with bully beef and biscuits. Oh, it was chronic. God, it was awful.
Had you seen any tanks in the campaign up to date?
Not up to then. We did get tanks. At Kahima, they came through, and Oh, yeah.
So your training, in effect, your jungle training, which prepared you in some way for the jungle, didn't include working with tanks or aircraft or anything of that nature?
No, I didn't. No, I mean, the aircraft, that was for bringing in supplies. The quarters, well, the Japs got half of it and we got half. They even dropped water, you know, when we were at Kameh.